Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 1. "Have you seen any strange weather lately?" asked Shelley LaSalle. "That's what climatologists have been asking for months now. Sold to us for years as climate change, they are now saying a freak upper atmospheric anomaly is forcing the jet stream to move in erratic patterns, pulling the atmospheric river with it. Each day, billions of gallons of water flow overhead, normally in the form of very fine water vapor. But lately, the deserts have been greening, while the crop zones have been parched. If you look at this map," she said, as the background slide changed to an infrared version of a North American map, "you can see an almost straight line of demarcation down the middle of the continent. Now, it looks like geologists and even cosmologists are getting into the act. Caltech scientists from both departments are saying that planet Earth is showing signs of instability that have never been seen before. What looks like a straight line on this map is actually a curved line of force that extends halfway around the world. The rest of the line goes through the center of the planet. What does this mean for you? Well, keep your seatbelts fastened as we continue our month-long series on Earth changes tomorrow night at 11 p.m. This is Shelley LaSalle. Back to you, Central Command." The mainstream media had changed in recent years as more and more mergers had occurred. There were now only 6 owners of the world's major sources of news on radio, TV, and in print. Each hour, talking points were issued to the news outlets. Those talking points were developed using data mining methods designed to do a physical exam on humanity. When the moguls, who controlled the media, wanted the patient to feel a certain pain or frustration, they would issue carefully crafted talking points that the news organizations would broadcast within minutes, using the same exact word characteristics. It meant not only that there was less room for real investigative reporting, but also that news programs became scripted and directed shows designed and implemented as a new type of Cold War battle strategy. This strategy was designed to offer choices to mankind between an ancient evil operating from deep within NORAD's vault and an enlightened few. The easy choice was to let government do everything for you. The hard choice was beyond the intelligence of even the above-average citizen. It meant choosing to shrink the central governments of the world and to return control of things like education, the courts, and lawmaking to more local levels like states. What made it even more difficult to do was Semyaza's interpretation of the Supremacy Clause. He was superior above all. Semyaza was skillful beyond measure. Like the greatest chess player, he could see the feints within feints. He could tempt men to betray their deepest loves. He proved continuously that which men abhor, they soon tolerate and then embrace. He also believed that mankind was inherently weak and evil, craving to be ruled by a strong central power like Lucifer. The enlightened ones believed that the human race was divine in nature. However, simply offering good and uplifting content for mankind to choose was not enough. They saw the effects of music on people and the fact that it seemed the devil had all the good stuff. In some small measure, they were determined to have conferences and expos to train people how to meditate and how to tune into higher frequencies of the planet. They taught eternal principles in the proper order, not the translated Greek record. They taught that people must first love themselves, then to love their neighbor as themselves, and that by doing this they would be able to love God. Abdullah Bayezid, the powerful owner of the LA Times, saw the talent and tenacity in Shelley early on. He mentored her from a distance, and shortly after the attempt on Riker's life, he drafted her to take the lead in making sure the entire world could learn about what was being done by Semyaza. He knew very well that people could not just be told the whole truth about what was going on. That could easily be twisted and countered by the semantic genius of an ageless being. When it was tried outright after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the master of mayhem crafted the strategy that anyone who publicly stated that there was more than one shooter was a conspiracy theorist, and that such was a threat to the United States. Like the Pharisees of old, they were experts in the manipulation of legal language, and through the skillful use of associative connotations, they would direct massive responses in the population. Once the grand division began to show a clear separation line, the stimuli for manipulating each division became seriously academic. It was this craft that Shelley had to face. She had to draw out the conclusion between Semyaza and the media moguls, while at the same time allowing the public to awaken. Simply making them angry wasn't going to work. Simply saying the truth is out there was enough to get ratings, but not enough to enlighten people to what was truly happening and how permanent and the consequences of this might be. She didn't want the people to treat the truth like a great cable program. Shelley had to awaken them and then inspire them to make a mighty change of heart, one that cannot be simply ordered away by the soundbites. The idea of being on camera and earning as much money as a Hollywood movie actor on an annual basis was irresistible at first. If the camera liked that face, a good voice could make $1 to $3 million a year, which was as good as anyone in Hollywood except perhaps a headliner. How could a headliner stay at the top of their game? They couldn't. The media makers are who create the movie star, and rarely the other way around. Each month, there are hundreds of screenplays considered for investment. Some are very good screenplays, but terrible ideas. Some are great ideas with horrible screenplays. And some are great ideas with phenomenal screenplays, but many of these projects, too, do not get investment. The screenplays that actually receive funding to become films are a select number of each of these categories. Why? Because most of the money for filmmaking comes from a very exclusive source. That source has a strict propaganda agenda. DARPA is a main-tier source of funds for the making of movies. There are other dark forces of the universe that know, on Earth, as on most planets, the way to control the masses is through four main areas of investment: entertainment, litigation, lawmaking, and education. What seems strange to people is the observation that before some new and terrible thing occurs, there's a sneak preview in the media. Science fiction has been the favorite venue for telling the masses that something big is coming, but sometimes it is introduced through other genres as well. Since the Bush administration, the major programs implemented for world conquest have been accelerating. In the year 2000, departing passengers could be accompanied by their families and hugged one last time before boarding the plane. By Thanksgiving 2001, those days were over. In fact, many of the government programs that people had been warned about in productions like George Orwell's 1984 or Aldous Huxley's Strange New World were just so much fictional entertainment, until we learned from whistleblowers that these programs had, in fact, been enacted. They were written in the dark dungeons of Semyaza, handed to his presidential minions, and then forced down the throat of Congress with the threat of a government shutdown if they did not. Most of the time, he didn't even allow time to read the law. It effectively shredded the American people's right to representation in government. Since the presidency of Roosevelt, the federal government was free to tax, fine, and rule the country without a single elected official being involved. Abdullah explained to her one evening how the forces of the media were being employed to conquer the world. The question is, Why is the preview announcement necessary? He asked as he paced the floor in front of his penthouse office window overlooking the Los Angeles basin. The highways looked like amber arteries sprinkled with stars and pulsing with sundry travelers. Why do the dark forces need to announce what they are going to do just before it is done? His voice was harbored in his massive chest. He deepened it as though he was speaking of his mortal enemy. Bank fraud, money laundering, drug smuggling, assassinations, and even Supreme Court decisions that wrote entirely new law were all announced ahead of time, he said, pointing his finger at Shelley. He opened his mahogany humidor mounted in the wall behind his desk. He plucked a cigar from the lower shelf, along with the cutter, and as though he was defusing a bomb, he snipped the back of it into an onyx ashtray to provide the perfect draw. With one sweeping motion of his right hand, he replaced the cutter into the humidor, swung the glass door silently closed, and scooped the brass torch from its perch. Shelley could hear the butane sizzle as the two nozzles sparked to life and turned the end of the rocky patel the color of hot iron. Abdullah drew thoughtfully and blew a cloud through a smoke ring. He looked at her with his black eyes, now open and humbled. When George Herbert Walker Bush made his epic speech explaining the advent of a new world order with 1,000 points of light, the dark hearts roared their approval while the enlightened ones retreated in horror for the wilderness once again. He turned away to look out the glass wall again. When I escaped Iraq, with barely my life in my hands, I made a promise to God. Christians were being wiped out village by village, but the petroleum industry seemed to be immune for decades. Then the tribal rulers got greedy. Someone very high up allowed them to seize everything and call it their own. The company lost billions in investment and equipment almost overnight. Then they came hunting for the native people that had helped the Americans, translated for them, and managed enormous labor forces that located, drilled, and produced the oil. They treated us as spies and killed nearly all of us. Hadid's father saved my life twice during that genocide, Abdullah recalled with a distant tone to his voice. I promised to God that if he would spare my life, I would dedicate my skills to saving as many people as I could from Lucifer's seed that scorched my country. Now I see the people being divided into two groups, two vibrations. It is clear enough to see. We have to make the higher vibration stronger, or God is going to lose billions of souls to Lucifer. Does this make any sense? Asked Abdullah. Shelley was held in his words as though they were dancing alone in a ballroom. She had lost track of time. A mighty soldier with medals and ribbons and shiny low quarters could not have had more authority to say those words right now. She was being taught, schooled by a master who had been preserved by great power for this time. "I can see the events you describe," she began. I have already witnessed the resolve of these dark forces. I watched as they tried to kill 9 people in a jet over the upper desert of Southern California. They shot military weapons at them. My series should tell that story to everyone, but I have to be subtle, or the station command will cancel it. I'm going to need your help, she pleaded. Abdullah was calm now. He walked toward where she was sitting down on one of the high chairs surrounding a glass table. She tapped the bottom edge of her papers, covered with her notes, on the glass in front of her. "The ownership rights of mankind are being negotiated here," he said. "There are many types of soldiers in this war. You are a special force, my Shelley. I will provide air support for your mission." He reached out to her and took her right hand in his warm brown grasp. "You are the voice and the face of this message, my girl. Go and do." And he released her hand with an added gesture, like a flat hand facing her. She stood and headed for the double mahogany doors leading to the elevators. "Yes, Armies were being ordered to more intense positions, lands were being gerrymandered, and hardware was being aimed. North Korea's Little Kim scared every peace-loving soul as he was tossed out onto the stage with pogo stick publicity, while the string disappeared into the back of his neck. Turkey's Erdogan confirmed his lust for the title of Caliph, while the caliphate materialized exactly as Dinesh D'Souza revealed in the most watched documentary in movie history, 2016, Obama's America. She knew there were layers of greedy and lustful oligarchs beneath the madman of Turkey that sought his life at the first opportunity as well. Abdullah was teaching her the importance of what she was being asked to do. He could not teach her how to do it. The smell of cigar smoke was still in her mind. She waited for the elevator to reach the penthouse. In a few weeks, the effect of her nightly series would begin to show up in the river of human consciousness. The vibration would be set in motion among the millions of human who watched Channel 5. People would be climbing out of the mainstream while the masses floated peacefully out to sea. Ratings wouldn't tell the whole story. A person here, a family there, and perhaps a small neighborhood high in the mountains of Montana would listen and blink, and then the true color of the world around them would be made manifest. A few at first, and then a few more, they would awaken. Their awareness would cause them to move out of their material trance and to begin walking in the light. Soon, it would be noticed. Sure, she mused to herself after pushing the button from the penthouse to the parking garage. That's the idea, isn't it? You wanted to be the news anchor. Well, it's time to sink, Miss Shelley. And the elevator dropped away, leaving part of her stomach on the floor with a man trying to save the world.